Lavish on faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy, and nothing can keep us apart. So
Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of grace, Lord, and through that grace that we share eternal life with you. Father, we pray that as we spend this time together this morning, Lord, that your Spirit will work through us to draw us deeper into you. Father, we pray that you will open the eyes and our ears, Father, to hear your word. We thank you, Father, for the freedom we enjoy and for this place where we can come together as a faith community. And we pray that you will be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. Welcome to Byron Community Church. We're glad that you braved the weather to be here this morning to spend time in praise and worship of God. We're going to continue on with some singing.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come and let your glory come, and let your glory fall. Our Father, who art in heaven, the rocks cry out your fame. Come and let your glory come, and let your glory fall.
I will sing a new song.
your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. God, give us new every morning, mercy. To the Lord. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. For the kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, and the glory forever. Amen. And the kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, and the glory forever. Amen. For the kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, and the glory forever. Amen. And the kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, and the glory forever. Amen. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song to the Lord. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim
to take the next couple of minutes to meet and greet each other and spread the coffin flu around a little bit, and the kids can head on downstairs for Sunday school.
Yeah, I don't want it either. No, thank you.
Hillary,
she get it?
Well, see, whenever she gets the flu, it affects her inner ear. So she started coming down Tuesday, and when I called Friday and talked to Andy, she was...
Following the service, we can continue to meet with each other over coffee and other refreshments. But at this point, we'll invite the ushers to come forward as we present our gifts of tithes and offerings. Let's pray. Papa God, we love you. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for the blessings that you bestow onto us each and every day. And so we return to you a portion of that blessing in the form of these tithes and offerings, and ask that you use it to expand your kingdom to the very ends of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple of announcements to share with you. First off, just a reminder about Pastor John's 35-day challenge. How are we doing with that? Nobody's looking at me, so probably not good. If you've been struggling with it, you still got a little bit of time, but you got a little bit of heavy lifting to do. Reminder, if you haven't picked them up already, you'll have the 35-day challenge in your mail slots, and you can find it on the Facebook page. Coming up next Sunday, it's already next Sunday, February the 11th, is the Missions Prayer Focus. So that will be happening right here. Have a regular service, have a little bit of time for coffee and fellowship, and then we'll come back into the auditorium for a time to get updated on all of our missionaries that are connected here at BCC, and we'll begin to pray through them all. So you want to make sure you've marked that on your calendar and plan to attend that. Also coming up a week from Tuesday on the 13th, the Lighthouse Cafe returns. So this will be our Tuesday evening program going on now that Alpha is finished from 7 to 8. And we are looking at the power of love. Why is it so difficult to love some of our neighbors? Why is it easy sometimes? And how can love impact our life and our community? And if you're an animal lover or a pet lover, you're going to really like the video that we're using. If you're an animal lover, you're really going to like Friday Night Live. Aha, segues. Wild Frontier. This is a family edition on February 23rd, 7 o'clock. As always, it's for ages 5 to 10. So those kids can be dropped off here, no problem. But younger kids, older kids, any age can come on out and check out these animals. It can be lots of fun. Also, if you're an animal lover, why not eat some? Ladies' Breakfast, February 24th. You know. Worth a try. Ladies' Breakfast, February 24th, 8:30 to 10, over at the Kernahan home, and you can sign up at the info desk. Nobody got engaged this week? All right. We're done.
Thank you, I think. This morning, Pastor John is continuing on in our series, Life's Big Questions, from the book of Ecclesiastes. So this morning, we're talking about faith, and it's just gone from me. But anyway, stand with us, and we'll sing.
Good. Oh, you are good.
sometimes we allow the distractions of our lives to get in the way of hearing God's voice. And what it requires is us to do is to just be still and to know that He is God.
They are bold, courageous, fearless, adventurous, risk-takers, real men. That's how I am sure people commented and remarked as they observed Mark and me a few years ago at the Universal Theater theme park in Florida. As we conquered every ride, we went up and down. The bigger, the better the ride. And as I said, we were bold and courageous. But it's not always been that way. I'll pick on Mark first. It doesn't seem that long ago, but he was only 4 years old when we made a trip to Western Fair here in London. And Mark and Melissa went off on the Ferris wheel, and Heather and I were on ground level watching. It was a Kodak moment as they went up the Ferris wheel, and all the other people on the Ferris wheel were having a grand time. And all of a sudden, we heard screaming. Screams of delight, I thought, at first. And then I realized it was Mark, and there were screams of terror. He wanted off the Ferris wheel. He was right up at the top. He was trying to get out of the seat, trying to remove the safety bar. And Heather is frantic. She goes over to the fellow in charge of the ride, who informed her that, no, he could not stop the ride or bring it down. It had to go through a sequence. Needless to say, he stopped the ride, and it came down. He learned you don't mess with a mama bear. You don't. And you especially don't mess with Heather. So that was Mark's experience. A few years ago, I had an experience, and it was a summer when I was speaking at a lot of different camps, and there was a feature that was being introduced to camps way back then, and it was the zip line. And I was at a camp up in the Ottawa area speaking for the week, and of course, as a speaker, you want to be the cool speaker who does things with the campers and has a great time that way. And a lot of the campers were encouraging me to come on the zip line. And back then, it was an impressive zip line. You walked up this big, big tower. You got into a harness, and you zipped down that line of I would think it was wire back then. And so I made my way up the high tower and got to the top. I looked down, and I panicked. I was frozen with fear, plagued by the what-ifs. That's what caused me to be so hesitant and so cautious, overly cautious and uncertain. I mean, what if the zip line broke? What if the harness malfunctioned? What if there was a great windstorm and it blew down the whole zip line apparatus? And I'll never forget, as I was paralyzed by overanalysis, I made my way down the tower. I was embarrassed, quite humiliated, as I gave up on that opportunity to have a great time on the zip line. Well, today we're not going to be talking about zip lines or Ferris's wheels, but we're going to be looking at what it means to be bold and to take risks, especially when the outcome is uncertain, especially when we're facing a lot of what-ifs. This will be a challenging message for those of you who are extreme risk-takers, to the point where you can even be a bit foolish or reckless. You may be guilty of being overly impulsive. But I think I've got a pretty good gauge on most of us here this morning. And my guess is most of us tend to be over-hesitant, over-cautious. Many of us can identify with what it means to be paralyzed by fear to the point where we miss opportunities in life. I especially want to talk to those of us who have ever been, or maybe still, feel a sense of being immobilized. Hey, let's face it. Decisions would be easier if we could see in advance how things would turn out. We wouldn't be so cautious or hesitant if we were guaranteed future success. But we're not. So we don't step out and get counseling or help. when we know that we need it. Your marriage needs help. Your marriage needs advice or perspective from another. But what if it doesn't work? What if the counselor thinks you're crazy asking for help? Or what about joining the worship team? I know some of you are very capable musically, but you're plagued by what ifs. What if you get up on the platform one Sunday and you just freeze up and no words come out of your mouth and it's quite embarrassing? What if? What about sharing your faith with a neighbor? What if your neighbor is offended? What if your neighbor feels like you've crossed a boundary? And many of us, most of us, can be immobilized and paralyzed by fear when it comes to sharing our faith with a neighbor or a work colleague. You should be going for that job promotion. You know it. Those around you know it. But you're fearful. Like, what if you don't get the job? That'll be embarrassing. And you have thought through and analyzed all the what ifs if you do proceed. What about giving generously to the poor? Have you ever stopped and thought, well, what if they misuse that money? Am I sure they're going to use it to buy a meal, or are they just going to support a drug habit? And often we're so paralyzed by these kinds of what ifs that it holds us back and we don't do a thing. I would propose that life would seem easier if we knew in advance how things would turn out, if we knew the future. But God has designed things so that we have to live by faith. You know the phrase. It's in the Bible, quite popular. We live by faith, not by... Oh, that's right. So now all of us say it with some conviction. We live by faith, not by sight. We would like to see things. We'd like to have that crystal ball that looks into the future. It would seem that our decisions would be so much easier. But we are called to live by faith. And the title of my message this morning is Faith is Risk. Years ago, someone said that to me. It caught me off guard. But over the years, I'm more and more convinced that true faith, the kind of faith that the Bible talks about, the kind of faith that is active and is real and authentic, involves risk, because we live by faith, not by sight. So this morning we want to look at what it means to live boldly, taking risks, not letting the uncertainties of life hold us back. And this morning, through this sermon, I'm going to be giving you a push. Imagine standing at the top of a high tower, maybe hesitant to dive in. Well, I'm going to come up behind you this morning and give you a little push. I hope it's a gentle push, but I'm going to push you. And we're going to push you the best way possible, and that's through Scripture. We have a short passage this morning, Ecclesiastes 11, verses 1 to 6. We only have two more sermons to go in Ecclesiastes. We've been on a long journey before Christmas. We've been in Ecclesiastes after Christmas. And we've only got two sermons to go in Ecclesiastes after today. So for this morning, I want us to read. We're going to read the whole passage and then break it down. Ecclesiastes 11, verses 1 to 6. Ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you may receive a return. Invest in 7 ventures, yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind, or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. If you're like me, the first time I looked at this next passage in Ecclesiastes, my question was, what? What in the world does all this mean? And if you're tracking along, you're going, interesting, John, you're speaking about faith and risk and about being bold, and I don't see any of those words in the first six verses of Ecclesiastes 11. So we do need to break it down and see how this passage speaks to our theme this morning. So those of you who like to take notes, like outlines, here we go. In verses 1 and 2, we see the push. This is the push that we see Solomon giving to us as he's prompted by the Spirit. Verses 3 and 4 is a warning. Verse 5 is the mystery, which, believe it or not, I think is encouragement to us. And then in verse 6, we finish appropriately with the bottom line. Verse 1 and 2, the push. Ship your grain across the sea. In some translations, we read, cast your bread upon the water. The boy, when I heard those words from Ecclesiastes 1, I had a vision of going to a pond and feeding the ducks. Cast your bread upon the water. The best translation is ship your grain across the sea. So what we have here is an industrial trade illustration. We do know that Solomon had many ships. We read that in 1 Kings. And Solomon's fleet would go out about once every 3 years and quite literally would be involved in international trade. There were lots of what-ifs for Solomon. Even back then, there was the danger of piracy. There could always be shipwrecks. Still are shipwrecks today. No guarantee that Solomon would have a Titanic experience with his ships. So indeed, international trade back in Solomon's day was risky business. So what we're looking at here, in a very intriguing way, is Solomon encouraging us to take risks, not just when it comes to international trade, but when it comes to life. But in verse 2, we see the balance. Take risks, but be wise. Don't be careless. Don't be reckless. Solomon is suggesting that we invest wisely. Have 7 things on the go, maybe even 8. This is a way of Solomon putting into words a popular expression we have, don't put all your eggs in one basket, right? So Solomon is saying, disaster may come, there may be all kinds of things that would happen if you only have one ship, so take risks, be bold, but be wise. And there's a tension between the two. There's balance, but both are necessary. Be bold, be wise. This is good, this reminder again of wisdom. So when we come to risk-taking, we should never violate God's standards. There are risks that are foolish, that are careless, that are reckless. You're saying, well, I'm going to risk leaving my spouse and see what happens. That, in my opinion, and what Scripture teaches us, is the kind of risk that God doesn't want you to take. You may say, I'm going to risk this year cheating on my taxes and seeing if I can get away with it. That's the kind of risk that God would not have you take. That's not boldness. That's not living adventurously. That's living foolishly and recklessly. But at the other extreme, And maybe as appropriate for us, Solomon is saying, do not be overly cautious. Don't be overly hesitant. Don't be risk averse. Because faith is risk. We live by faith, not by sight. So why are we so overcautious? Let me suggest three reasons why I think some of us struggle and wrestle with being overcautious. For some of us, it's how we're wired. If I was to look at your family of origin, I might discover that there's a pattern. You go, my mom was afraid of risks. My grandma was a worrier. And John, if you were to take a look at my family, you would see a pattern. You'd see a common denominator. Some of you would say, I don't fully understand personality types, but I see myself, without having to work at it, as being someone who tends to be quite cautious. If there's something to be afraid of, naturally, normally, I'm going to be afraid of it. You look at somebody who is impulsive, and you go, I could never, ever be that way. I analyze to the point of overanalyzing every situation, every circumstance, every decision. Another reason some of us are overcautious, and I am very intentional in using this word, at risk, pun intended, of offending some of you. And that is, some of us choose fear. And you need to think that through, because it has all kinds of implications. The number one command in all Scripture. You know it? A lot of people think it's, well, love others. It's way up there as a command in terms of frequency. But the number one command in Scripture is, don't be afraid. Fear not. And I believe, with all my heart, that God never gives a command that he does not give us the resources to obey. God's commands are not burdensome, they're blessings. I agree with my friend Charles Price, who calls the commands of God promises for those of us who are in Christ. We have the potential to obey commands. So at a very deep level, this is one to think about today, wrestle with over the week. If you struggle with being fearful, you are choosing to be fearful. And what needs to be addressed is that matter of choice. And I want to assure you, with godly help and counsel, you can overcome fear. I've seen it. I've experienced it. And I've really been blessed as I see progress in the lives of others in this area. There is a healthy fear. You know, you should be afraid of running a red light. You should be afraid of certain situations that are very dangerous. But you need to distinguish between a healthy fear and an unhealthy fear. Fearing God is a healthy fear, but there are all kinds of unhealthy fears in life. A third reason that we're overcautious, and I can't explore it in detail, is I believe that many of us are overwhelmed with options. Life is complex. Life isn't simple. And it's not simply a choice between A or B. It's a choice between A, B, C, and D. And I know that some of us wrestle with decision-making because we're overwhelmed with options. What should we do? What should I not do? And that causes people to feel very trapped and very immobilized. Over the years, I've dealt with young men or young women about to get married, and they're wrestling with, John, how can I be absolutely certain that I'm marrying the right person? And especially when you're living in a world full of options, full of men and women. And again, I think one of the reasons many of us are wrestling with being overcautious is that we're overwhelmed with options. But Solomon doesn't back off. He says, you got to live by faith. There are times you need to step out and take a risk. So let's look at the warning. You might say, well, John, this is such a big deal. If I'm wired this way, my grandmother was this way, what's the big deal? Well, let's look at verses 3 and 4. Again, we see this illustration of a farmer. This is shifted from a businessman to a farmer. In verse 3, I picture him out in the field, and he's observing things. He's observing the clouds, and he's observing the trees. He's seeing the law of nature at work. We would agree with him. You can know that a full cloud, a dark cloud, means rain. And he sees what happens when a tree falls. Typically, a tree that falls stays where it lands. I think there's a couple of dimensions here, though, is that the farmer realizes that he really lacks control when it comes to the weather. We all know that. And there's uncertainty when it comes to the weather, without wanting to offend Wyerton Willie. There is uncertainty. The farmer's almanac doesn't always have it right. There's even uncertainty when you check the weather channel, and it promises you what the weather will be like over a week, and many of us have been in the situation where it shifted. Things happened beyond our control. But here's the real gist of the warning in verse 4. If this farmer is out going, I'm looking for perfect weather to do my planting. I'm looking for the ideal circumstances to move forward with the sowing part of the harvesting process. It says here, whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the cloud will not reap. This is a warning that if we overanalyze, if we wait and wait and wait for the perfect time, if we hesitate looking for ideal conditions, we will do nothing. It's really at the heart of procrastination. We put it off till tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a better time to share my faith with my neighbor. I really should be going for that promotion, but next week, next month, I should be getting help with that emotional problem I'm struggling with, but it's just not convenient this week. So we keep pushing it off, and find out that we're doing nothing. And this risk aversion can cause this sense of doing nothing. I shared a couple of weeks ago about a friend of some of ours who at an elderly age has become a believer in Christ. As I thought about the different people who've played a role in his life, I thought of the many people who took risks to make that possible. Yeah, we give credit for God who draws people to himself. It's all about grace. But there were those who invited him to events. That took a risk. He could have refused to go. He could have felt that he wasn't being respected in being invited to some of these events. He attended an alpha group where he was allowed to ask questions. Always a risk when we open it up that way. There was one fellow in particular who risked having a Monday morning chat with him that led to him coming to that point of accepting Christ. I guarantee you, if you're a believer in Christ, there have been a few people, if not many people, who took some risks, and that made it happen. It made it possible. The person who thought, I could never be a Sunday school teacher, but God seems to be pushing me in this direction. I'm going to step out in faith. And you look back and you go, that Sunday school teacher played a role in my conversion. I know some of your stories. There are some people who can say that I had a neighbor who shared his faith, shared her faith. Or what about that person who risked offending you but asked you the tough question when you were struggling your faith, when you were going in the opposite direction? That person who stepped up, stepped out, boldly took a risk. And we can trace back conversion to that. Show me a church project, a church initiative, and I'll show you people who took many risks along the way. The first time I ever preached was a terrible experience. 15 minutes. Friends said to me that I said the word over 300 times. I didn't know that was possible. I'm still sensitive to that. Please don't tally how many times I say in a sermon. It'll hurt me deeply, bring back bad memories. For me, the risk was getting in the saddle and preaching again and again and again. I identify more than you'll ever know with your fears, your being overcautious, your being hesitant. I'm one of you in this regard, but I can assure you that the real joy and fulfillment in life comes when you step out in faith and take risks in life. I always say to the many people who come to see me for counseling, I admire your courage. It takes courage to ask for help. There's no stigma attached to it. There's no sense of, oh boy, you aren't cutting it on your own. It takes courage to ask for help. It takes boldness to take that first step and get the help you need. So the warning is, be very careful when you let hesitation and being overcautious rule you, when you try to wait for the perfect time, the ideal time. It likely will never come. But that doesn't mean that you don't step out in faith and take a risk. Let's just quickly address the mystery in verse 5. I actually first labeled this the encouragement. It might not look like encouragement, but I think it is. You don't know the path of the wind. We sure don't know that. We do have weather people who can look at it and analyze, but they don't know everything there is to know about the wind, how the body is formed in a mother's womb. We know way more than Solomon knows about the biology of birth. But there's still mystery. It still fills us with wonder when we think of a person developing and growing within another person. I hope I never lose that sense of awe, that sense of wonder. In the same regard, Solomon is saying there's lots of things we just don't know. There's a lot of limitations. I can tell you this morning, my prediction, some of you are waiting for it, is Philadelphia 24, New England 21, in the most watched event in the world, the Super Bowl. Lots of Christians playing this year. So even if you don't like football, watch to support. And hopefully, rather than Justin Timberlake, these players will have a platform in sharing their faith later today. I was told a story the other day. In England a few years ago, there was a big soccer match, and people were betting on it. There was a problem logistically with the betting company, and they allowed bets to be made after the game, after the results of the game. And there were some people who won a lot of money because they were betting on a game where they knew the results. Wouldn't it be something if I was saying to someone who wasn't a football fan tomorrow, hey, would you like to bet on the game? They're not aware that the game was today. And again, you have that advantage or a seeming advantage when you know the outcome. Solomon's point in verse 5 is, hey, you don't know the outcome. There's no one here this morning who has a crystal ball in the future. I think it would be stunning to know what we don't know about what will happen in 2018. Solomon addresses the work of God, his sovereignty, his providence. And we have choices. I call these the three F's. This can cause great fear. I talked to someone just recently who has fear of death. I could not guarantee that person, you're not going to die in 2018. And some of us, when we look at uncertainties in life, we opt for fear. The second choice is frustration. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have an idea of, will this work out? What will the outcome of that be? But the third option, which I believe Solomon would push us to, is faith. And that's your choice. So when it comes to the uncertainties that you will face in 2018, are you going to choose fear? Are you going to choose to be frustrated? Or will you put your faith in God? And faith is risk. That's the motivation. It's the catalyst which allows us to step out and do what we need to do. We put our faith and trust in God. So what's the bottom line in verse 6? Sow your seed in the morning. Like, get to it. I guess the Nike slogan fits. Just do it. Don't sit around waiting for ideal conditions. Don't wait for the perfect situation. Don't overanalyze, but do it. Hey, there's a time to be cautious, but there's a time to go, I'm in, and I'm all in. I'm going for it. Just do it. The future is uncertain, but do it now. Start in the morning, continue through the evening. Live a life full of adventure. Too many of us as believers spend way too much time in our faith sitting around. We have chosen the spectator version of Christianity. It's not biblical. It's popular. But you'll never know the joy of the Lord and the abundant life that's in Him until you break through those barriers and just do it. Don't let uncertainty hold you back. Take risks by faith to the glory of God. And the harvest is about to come. In verse 6, part B, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. You don't know. But that's not a reason to just sit around waiting for the return of the Lord. Step out in faith. And so what if you fail? So what? The Lord's not going to say in heaven, oh, you were too eager to do things for me. The Lord is going to reward us on the basis of faithfulness, not success. So step out and do it. Here's a cool story about a fellow named Luke Short. He was converted to Christ at the age of 103. I call that quite elderly. He was sitting on a bridge at the age of 103, and he remembered a sermon he heard by the great Puritan preacher, John Flavel. He remembered that sermon, and he decided that he was going to do what had been asked of him, to accept Christ as his Savior at the age of 103. He lived till 106. And on his tombstone is written the message, here lies a babe in grace, aged 3 years, who died according to nature, aged 106. But you know what the coolest part of the story is? That sermon by John Flavel Luke Short had heard 85 years previous. Did you get that? 85 years. So the sowing happened 85 years before Luke Short was converted. 85 years later, it took root. And there was a wonderful harvest for Christ. Hey, you may do something for Christ and you're going to see some results this year. You're going to go, wow, that was really successful. You may do something very significant for Christ. You may step out in faith and take a risk. You may not see results for 10 years, 20 years. Maybe something won't happen for 85 years. But never underestimate the power of stepping out for Christ. There's no reaping if there's no sowing. And I want to encourage you this morning to be bold and take risks. I'm going to close with a little breakdown of the word bold. I give credit to my friend Ross Kearney. Ross was a student of mine, as now a prominent pastor in Toronto, and we engage with each other quite regularly, so I want to give full credit to Ross, who's got this little approach to decision making. Because you're saying, well, John, it's great to be bold, it's great to take risks. How do I know the direction to go? Especially because you already said that we're living in a world overwhelmed with options. So are you ready? Bold. The B stands for the Bible. Get into Scripture. It's going to tell you some things that all of us should be doing. But if you're into Scripture daily, if you're reading through Proverbs, as you've been encouraged to in the challenge, God speaks to you powerfully through His Word. If you're looking for guidance and direction in life, you're going to miss out on what God wants you to do if you're not into Scripture. So search Scripture. What's Scripture telling you? Hey, you know what? I'm willing to believe today that on this wintry morning, where you were wondering if you should have been here today, maybe God's intention is this message from Ecclesiastes 11 is especially for you. That prompting inwardly, that prompting of the Spirit, is how God's Word is effective and active and convicts us and challenges us. So the B is the Bible. The O in the word bold stands for others. Look to others for counsel, for advice. Who in your world has permission to push you? Who has permission in your world to ask the tough questions, to suggest other ideas, other options? For me, it was an older man named Doc. You've heard me talk about Doc. The crustiest man I know. He's still alive, well into his 90s. You may think you're crusty. You don't compare to Doc. A crusty exterior, a gentle heart. And Doc, in two or three significant points in my life, challenged me and challenged me hard. What are you doing pursuing a career in business? You should be preaching. You should be in pastoral work. And Doc had permission. I didn't always like what he had to say to me. By the way, if you're looking for somebody to push you, we all do this, don't we? We go, I'm going to go to three people who will all agree with me. Especially those who are risk averse. We go, I'm going to go to two or three people just like me. And they're going to go, oh, that's scary. Oh, you don't want to do that. And you're feeling, yeah, you see, I'm right. Forget John's sermon. I've got two or three people, especially if it's somebody in your family of origin. I'll go to my Grandma Smith because she worries about anything. And if I tell her I'm thinking of this, she'll tell, don't go that direction. So if I can be as courageous to say, look for two or three people who may not agree with you and may not be wired the way you are. If you struggle with risk, you maybe need two or three people in your life who will give you the push. And a push is a lot nicer than a kick in the butt, right? But some of us need a holy kick in the butt when it comes to this area. The L stands for Lord, and what that means is go to the Lord in prayer. And I know some of you have told me that you've been asking God for wisdom, and I've heard some remarkable stories this last few weeks about some of you have experienced God answering that prayer. And God has promised that if you ask me for wisdom, I'm going to give it to you. And so I would suggest, especially if you're facing a decision, especially if you're wrestling with uncertainties into the future, ask God and allow God to lead you through prayer. The B is Bible. The O, what was the O again? Others. The L was the Lord. Go to the Lord in prayer. And the D, do it. Just do it. My conviction, as I pulled into the parking lot very early this morning, trudged through the snow to get in through the front door, was that for someone here today, that really is the bottom line. You know what the Lord is prompting you to do, and today the Lord has spoke through me and has given you the push. Just do it. Take the risk. Step out on faith. We all would prefer to live by sight. Let's live by faith. Will you stand with me? We're going to pray, and then Rick and the team are going to close off the service. My conviction is that every single one of us has something the Lord is calling us to do, and we're holding back. Now, that's a bold statement, but I really believe that. Whether it's sharing your faith with a friend or a neighbor, whether it's taking an opportunity to serve here at the church, going for that job promotion or a change in the job, I have to believe that the Lord is calling you and the Spirit is pushing you. Too many of us, I know Josh preached in the summer about the talents, and too many of us are like the guy, remember Josh, who buried it, just said, oh, I got to be safe with this. Something could happen to it. Are you going to stand before the Lord empty-handed and say, I know you gave me a lot of gifts and a lot of abilities, but Lord, I chose to be cautious. I chose to be super careful. Come on. Let's step out in faith and experience the adventure of a lifetime. Eyes bowed, eyes closed, heads bowed, or you can just look at me. Let's pray. Father, I want to especially address those of us like me who wrestle with taking risk. There's lots of reasons for it. Some of us, it's related to our family background. Some of us have had some bad experiences. Oh God, help us overcome our fears. Help us to live boldly. Help us to be courageous. Surround us with people who will understand our weaknesses in this area. But give us the courage to surround ourselves with people who will push us, who will challenge us. Oh God, my final prayer is as a church, may we be a bold church. May we be doing things for Christ that are bold and courageous. May our stand for Christ that may seem silly to others have an incredible effect for your kingdom. We want to be sowers because we believe it's only as we sow your word and take advantage of opportunities that we are going to be able to see reaping. God, we would rather live by sight. We'd love to know the outcomes and what's going to happen, but we just don't. Help us not to be filled with fear because of that, or frustrated and angry. But God, strengthen our faith. We have little faith, God. Please pour out faith and trust into us through your Spirit. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just stay standing for the last song.
Father, we want to thank you for this day, for this opportunity to come together as a faith community and offer our worship to you. Father, as we go out from these doors this morning, we pray for boldness. Father, we know that your love remains, that's higher than any fear that we might entertain in our minds, Lord. And we just pray that we cling to that promise. Father, we thank you for the freedom we enjoy to come together to offer our worship to you, and we pray that you will continue to be with us now through your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, thank you for being with us this morning. If you're able, please stay for a time of refreshment. You are dismissed.